everyone, this is Chris Lin with the Theotech Podcast, and today I'm excited to share with you this roundtable discussion that I had with the pastoral leadership team at Westminster Chapel, a church in Bellevue, Washington. Bellevue is one of the most diverse cities in the nation, with more than 50 languages spoken in this region according to the U.S. Census Bureau. They are already using Spiffio every single Sunday to serve about 9 languages every single week. And in this episode, we dive deep into some of the strategies that they are using to build an intercultural community and create belonging in their church through translation and accessibility. So let's dive in.
Thank you, everybody, for joining me on the show. Maybe we can do a little round of introductions, starting with Pastor Ryan.
Yeah, so I'm Ryan, and I am the senior pastor here, and I've been here for 4.5 years. So I moved here right when the pandemic started.
And my name is Brendan, production director and digital innovation director. I've been here for about 10 years now. So I've seen lots of change, lots of growth, and lots of new things.
And I'm Matt, and I am the executive pastor here at Westminster, and I have been here for about 29 years. So
wow.
A lot of change at Westminster, a lot of change in Bellevue in that time. It's amazing.
I'm Kim Fu Lim. I'm one of the co-founders of Spiffio, and I help churches to make their events and contents and conversations accessible and multilingual.
I'm Chris, and I'm the outreach pastor at Westminster Chapel, and I am coming on to 2 years being here. So yeah, still feel like a newbie.
That's awesome. Maybe because Matt, you mentioned that you're the executive pastor and you have the longest history. Could you just tell us a bit about the story of Westminster and how it came to care so much about being multilingual, multi-ethnic? It's such a unique thing. So can you tell us that story?
We're actually going to celebrate our 60th anniversary this summer. And Westminster, when it was started by 13 families who really wanted to come together on the east side and really make the main things, you know, and draw people from different faith backgrounds together around the person and work of Jesus. Mm. And from the beginning, I think Westminster had a heart for outreach, for spreading the gospel. In the early days, that was a lot of sending people to other places in the world. And I think what we've seen is that God began to bring people to our doorsteps. Mm. And I can remember when I started in 1995, it was in my first year or two, someone came to Westminster and started to talk about how Bellevue was changing and that Bellevue was going to become its own urban center.
I see.
And I think from those very early days on, there was just this awareness that I think God used to kind of help us begin to think about the fact that we could resist that or we could, you know, embrace it as a kingdom opportunity.
Yeah.
And I would say probably 15 or 20 years ago, I think there were just some intentional commitments made to just say, we want to be a church that reflects our city.
And
we feel like that's God's heart, that's God's calling. And I don't think we do it perfectly, but I do believe there is a deep heart that says, we want to be a place where anybody can come, regardless of their background, their cultural background. And we want them to be welcome and accepted and feel family and feel at home here at our church.
What were some of the big steps that Westminster took to go through that transformation? How far did you get? And then how far do you still want to go?
I'll say that, you know, one of the first steps, and then I'll let other people share today too, but we had a person on our staff, Sylvia Ramquist, too, who had spent 20 years in Japan as a missionary.
Mm.
And she was really one of the leaders in helping us think through how to do this. And she recognized, based on our time in Japan, how significant the Lunar New Year celebration was.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of cast this vision that we would start a celebration here.
Mm-hmm.
And invite the community to come here and celebrate something that for a lot of us who grew up in America, we didn't understand the significance. But for a lot of people who had lived here, it was a key day. We did 12 years of that. We did every cycle, Lunar New Year, and it just grew.
Amazing.
And grew. And I think it created a great relationship with our community, but I think it also transformed a lot of the hearts of people at Westminster to really understand just some of the uniqueness and the ways that we could build relationship and we could serve our community well. A lot of people would point to that as a foundational event, but I think we've had a great season of engaging, you know, people in their cultural uniqueness. I think we have a long way to go in terms of just really truly being one community. I think we're still working really hard at how do we
how do we not just, you know, have a group of people from this country and a group of people from that country, but how are we one family together?
Oh, I see. So the kind of unity instead of just like many churches under one roof kind of vibe. Okay.
Exactly.
To really belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I came, it was kind of many groups under one roof. And some of those groups honestly didn't even attend the worship service because there wasn't accessibility for them in the worship service. If they were a non-native English speaker and they didn't feel like they could kind of track with everything that was going on and being communicated, it created barriers to, I think, the community, you know, like they saw Westminster as the church that they attended, but I don't know if they saw themselves as a part of the Westminster family. And one of the things we identified early on when I came was like, how do we move from being, like Matt said, like a multi-ethnic church to a church that has intercultural community, right? So one of the big challenges was, and then COVID happened. And so that kind of slowed, it just changed the trajectory of all of these things. But I think even coming out of the pandemic, we all know that in America, a lot of things happen culturally that made us aware of how divided we were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we believe that the church has to be that third voice in the gospel that says, no, God created people to live in community with one another, just like God exists, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the ideal community, right? In the Trinity. And so we a lot of things happened. I would say a big step that we made was, Matt talked about Sylvia, who was amazing. The Lord moved her, to her next assignment and brought Chris here. And one of the things that Chris really pushes us to do, is to really think, like missionaries. You know, we are not in a traditional American churched context. And so how do we take the gospel and contextualize it to this culture, to this area, and to all the peoples of this area, and create a place where we can be the body of Christ? So we're really working on that. And then our relationship with you guys, I would say, was kind of that next big step. And we have many more steps to take in understanding how to do that well and serve Jesus's people well. And I think part of it too is like, a lot of this is where do we have yet to go? I would say is a matter of discipleship, right? To be a people who, and this isn't just about like, I'm an American, or I moved here from I was born in another country. This is like humanity and culture, right? How do we help the church, all of us from all the backgrounds that we come from, to be curious about one another's stories, right? Rather than critical or, apprehensive, and really to like, what I want is when I think about what Matt said about how do we build bridges, it's like, how do we have true intercultural friendship in Christ, community in Christ, where we're studying the scripture together and we're sharing meals together. And that's just a regular part of, like, this really is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have many more steps to go, but I think we're moving that direction.
You know, what I love in what you say is that I feel like a big overlooked part of the preaching of the gospel is often that passage in Acts where Paul fought so hard for the unity of the church between Jews and Gentiles that he would rebuke Peter when Peter withdrew and said, I'm just going to hang out with the Jews now because the Gentiles are unclean, and said that you're not walking in step with the gospel. And I know people are concerned about like gospel faithfulness and preaching and things like that, but this is like the one piece that's always overlooked, I feel like. And then a lot of Paul's teaching about conscience that makes it possible for people with different values and different cultures to be able to still live in unity in Christ. Like such hard discipleship work that has to happen. And it's like, it's the hardest work probably because there's so much in Romans and Corinthians that's dedicated to that. And just to hear like the way that it actually gets lived out is that you get that intercultural belonging, like the relationships, the friendships, like what a beautiful fruit of the gospel when that actually is possible. So thank you for sharing that. I want to go switch over to Chris because you just mentioned him. Chris, as you've stepped into your new role and kind of tried to teach people to have the missionary mindset, what are the barriers you encounter in kind of people's traditional ways of thinking about church or, you know, their role? And then how do you help them experience that transformation?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think a lack of awareness. I think
I think a lack of awareness is probably the biggest thing that acts as a barrier of just not knowing, one, how unique this place is. I think especially for people who have lived here for a long time, they don't realize how unique of a place this actually is culturally and diversity. My wife and I, we visited here for the first time in February of 2022. And we arrived here, checked into our hotel, decided we were going to go on a walk to a local park. And as we were walking to the park, we were crossing the street, and we heard three different conversations in three different languages. And wow. it was just mind blowing to us coming from the Midwest, experiencing that in the United States. That was just something that was so bizarre to me. And I don't think a lot of people realize how you can't go anywhere else in the US and experience that type of diversity. Wow. In a grocery store or just simply walking across the street. And so I think finding ways to let people become more aware of how God has uniquely placed this church in such a beautiful place with beautiful people around it, with different cultural, God made those cultures, and he has purpose behind those cultures as well. And so, helping people realize that and finding connection points for people of actually we are different, but we have a lot of similarities too, because we come from the same God, right? And so helping people see the theology behind that, I think, is really important, because that's kind of where it all stems from. So is it through preaching a sermon series about it, or is it happening in like classes? Or
I think modeling it.
I think modeling it is probably the best thing that we can do as leaders, who get it. Not completely. We don't get it completely. We never will. But I think the more that we can model what it means to befriend someone who looks different than me or who speaks a different language than me, people notice that. I've noticed that people notice that. And so I think the more that church leadership can really take that on, and even having tools like Spiffio to be able to show that this is important, and this is important to God's heart too. Mm. God wants heaven to come down to earth, right? And that's what we're longing for whenever we're trying to bring the gospel to all different tribes, nations, languages. It's in hopes that this church, Westminster Chapel, it's more like heaven. Mm-hmm. And so that comes with language.
I love what you're sharing. And one of the things that I can hear as an objection or a concern is often that, everybody can have their own church, right? Everyone can just have the Indonesian church, the Ukrainian church, the Chinese church. What's been your experience when you encounter that kind of objection? Or have you not encountered that objection as you have ministered here?
I think we, not necessarily a verbal objection, but I think it's just based on how people naturally do life. I think they do it more naturally with those who look like them, speak the same language as them, mm-hmm. and trying to help encourage them see the benefits of actually pressing in into what is uncomfortable sometimes for those who might be different.
So
I think I have heard that, or I've seen that objection kind of lived out. And so I think, again, it's trying to just listen, kind of what are maybe some fears that people have, and pressing into the areas and growing in these areas and maturing in those areas. So I think a lot of it comes down to just asking questions and
I know that Kim Fu actually helped to found an Indonesian church that I grew up in, but then that one closed down, And I experienced as a second gen person kind of the advantages and disadvantages of that. Mm. But maybe you can share a little bit, Kim Fu, about what you experienced, because you found belonging here at Westminster now. It's actually possible for you to be here. And not only that, but people who don't speak English, who speak Indonesian, you could invite as well, like your friends who can try to belong here as well. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience? What makes that unique? What makes that connection possible?
Like Chris was saying, right, when I was in college, I was in the Christians, you know, and I came to the United States, I was in the Christians. And I accepted Christ while I was studying at UW. Then I didn't even dream that one day God would like use me to start this Indonesian Presbyterian church. And the church just grew, you know, grew in a way that I thought it was very healthy. That one day we had two pastors, and then we ended up have a English ministry, English service was an Indonesian service, not realizing that the two pastors are not, they didn't get along. So to make story short, right, we thought that we did the right thing by having two services, but that was the worst mistake that I felt like, being an elder at that time, I feel like I was part of that mistake, you know, making that decision, and then ended up splitting, you know, So the English church become a different Presbyterian church, and the Indonesian stay Indonesian Presbyterian church. Then, another crisis happens, and again, to make the story short, they ended up leaving Presbyterian. And so anyway, it's a big loss, because I poured out my life for 30 years, you know, since I was a college student all the way, seeing it grow. Here, the reason why I feel it's quite a drive for me coming from Matthew to here. And I tried every church nearby in my house. I could not find one that is so welcoming. You know, back to that monoculture versus the multicultural, right? The monolingual. I feel like many of the churches that I visited, even I fill out the contact, the connection card, nobody follow up, you know? And I feel like there's this invisible sign, like you're welcome here, but English is required to worship with us. Mm. If you don't speak English, sorry, we can't serve you. And I had my mother-in-law, who is 82 now, you know, she always stay with us. And I don't feel like I could go to church without her. I have to bring her along. And there's not a lot of places where I could take her, you know, where there's a translation, maybe Indonesian translations or Chinese translation. She liked it here. She felt welcome, because every Sunday she could pull out her cell phone. You know, I have to help her out. Imagine one day we have Kindle, I just give it to her. With the mobile phone, you know, and it's hard to see. I mean, read some of the characters maybe, but the whole family feel welcome. My wife feel welcome too. Every Sunday, there's always people greet us. And one time, I think it was one of your elders that came to us, and because he was watching my mother-in-law pulling out the mobile phone, this 82-year-old woman, you know, pulling out the cell phone and then reading the Chinese translation. Mm-hmm. And he just asked her, like, how do you like it? You know, of course, my mother-in-law appreciated that this is translated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the belonging.
Thanks for sharing that story. I think it's so great for people to be able to hear the actual experience of a family that needs it, and what and how it lives and be together in church, and how it makes them feel like they belong, how it creates welcome. That's really a wonderful story. I want to give Brandon a shout out. He's the tech person here, the tech guru. And Brandon, what's been your experience like integrating the technology to make that possible? And what are your hopes and dreams? I know you wanted to have a giant LED wall that you can like do whatever you want with. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting to try new things and to kind of be in a pioneering space in technology. You know, where we are, if you're listening, you don't know where Bellevue is. It's in the middle of Microsoft, Amazon, and the big three tech companies. And it's just a huge presence of innovation up here in a lot of places. And it's exciting to be a part of a church that's trying to innovate in a way that other churches are not. And so that's been exciting. And Spiffio is a great way to do that. Working with you guys has been great. You know, it's a good dialogue back and forth about different things, engineering wise, different things, creative wise. It's just great. So
what's been really special for you about Westminster, and how how the ministry supports you and your gifts in technology and everything like that, and how they understand the value that all these different innovations can bring and giving you the space to innovate and practice.
I would have to say support for team building. So I've had a lot of support from pastoral staff, Ryan and Matt and others, to build teams, to take over ministry. So it's not just me doing everything. It's not just a handful of us. It's dozens now at this point on the production team and doing technical things. And that allows the saints to be equipped and for ministry to be multiplied in a way that couldn't be done if it were just me walking around plugging in cables and doing everything. So that's probably one of the biggest ways. And then just being able to see what the impact is online with Sunday services and other things. Could talk for a while about different ways, but, you know, lots of stuff.
Yeah, thank you. And Pastor Ryan, I really appreciate how you've been sharing Spithia with your colleagues, other pastors, other churches. And I think that you mentioned, like, you love actually being on the edge. You love being a pioneer. And I'm wondering, can you share more about how you think about implementing Spithia and the reason why it's so worthwhile to innovate and to do this? And also, what are the actual top of mind things that your colleagues, that other pastors are kind of worried about? Because when I talk to churches about translation accessibility for the deaf and hard of hearing, it oftentimes can feel like a nice to have. Like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But the actual thing top of mind is something completely else.
Right.
Right. And I just love to hear about your mindset about it. Like, why is it such a priority for you as a senior pastor here? And also for your colleagues, what's actually on top of their minds? And how do those two bridge? How do those two connect?
I think for me, it's not pioneering for the sake of pioneering. It's pioneering because this is God's world, and the people who are in Bellevue, the people who are in our cities. I mean, I would say Bellevue, like Chris said, Bellevue is incredibly unique. At the same time, as America becomes more and more urbanized and urban, increasingly, like you're going to have every major city in the U.S. Mm-hmm. is going to continue to become more and more diverse. Mm-hmm. Like, there is an opportunity for the church to really get out of our silos of culture and experience something richer. I think it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of innovation, and it's going to take a lot of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I love it because, you know, Chris and I share a similar story. My wife grew up in Asia. She lived in all these countries in Southeast Asia, and she and I went to Vietnam for a period of time in life and really felt called to take the gospel to places where Jesus wasn't known.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up coming back, and it's a long story, and I'm not going to share this for another podcast, but we ended up coming back, and it was a really redemptive experience in the end. And it's amazing how God, you know, just is so kind with our stories. Mm. We spent 10 years in Charlotte in like a white church in a very segregated part of Charlotte. Mm. And it was a great church. And it was a great experience. And when the Lord called us to this role, we came to Bellevue, and Liz said to me, Ryan, this is everything kind of this is us. And so I think for me, the reason I'm so excited about Spithia in particular is, man, I do not want a church that's homogenous. I don't want that. I love the cross-cultural friendships I have, the believers, the elders, the staff members, who come from different backgrounds and have different points of view and encourage me in the way of Jesus, who I see Christ in, but also I find their story so interesting. It's so compelling. And they're people I want to know. And I feel like if Jesus came to Bellevue, he would want to know every person here.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're his church, Spithia to me is not just, hey, yeah, like we translate into 9 languages. Look at what we're doing. It's like, I want to be in relationship with our city. I want our city to be in relationship with the God who made them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something very rich about what we can experience when we, you know, life is not most joyful when we're comfortable, right? On the other side of our comfort zone is often joy. And so to me, when I talk to other senior pastors, I think it's really more, I have the benefit of stepping into a church community that's already embraced kind of this way of thinking, but I don't know if many of those churches have really broken through in that. And so I think there's like a sequential process, but I think some of it is, well, yeah, but I mean, how's this going to matter? And they're also, you know, all of us get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent and sometimes have a hard time seeing that which is most important and how to focus and redirect our time. And that's been, that's all of us around this table. We're not absent of that here, but I think it's just competing priorities and trying to figure out how to manage the load of leadership.
Absolutely. Something you shared, Ryan, just reminds me the Palm Sunday, you know, and then Jesus came back to the temple. And that's what brought a lot of conviction to me when I did the Indonesian Presbyterian Church. It's like when Jesus, you know, said that you have made this house, you have turned this house into a den of robbers. And he quoted from, I think it was Jeremiah, and then also he quoted Isaiah, that he want this house to be a house of prayer for all nations. To me, that's include, do whatever it takes to include people from all nations who worship together. That was my convictions. And as I listen to you, it's just like, well, that's affirming, you know. And I just imagine, you know, that Westminster is like the, this is it. God's glory is at stake. If we fail to do this, God's glory at stake. We're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. So one day if Jesus showed up, you know, he said, you know, well done, faithful servant. Isn't that what we long to hear from him rather than that review? You have turned this house to be a house of robbers. Yeah, that's a harsh rebuke.
And I think for a lot of, maybe I'll just speak for myself. When we started this as a church, you know, I think well-intentioned, we thought, well, let's do this for other people. What I've learned is I have benefited way more from these relationships than I've given, right? And I think for some churches, we have to wrestle with that, but also see it as an opportunity. My faith is enriched. My understanding of the gospel is enriched. Like I'm a better person because I'm in a church that represents the whole kingdom of God and gives a picture of heaven. And I didn't know that's how it was going to be, right? I thought, you know, it started with that we want to reach the world. We want to care for people. And we do, but there's so much blessing I think a lot of people don't see. There's so much more depth that comes with being connected with people with slightly different backgrounds, but we're united because of who we are in Christ.
I would say your heart really has to be shaped by these things. If you just say, well, we want to be diverse and multicultural as a body because you think it's a great ideal, and then you try to put programs to make that happen, it's not going to happen, right? I remember this just always stands out to me. There has been pressure at various points in my leadership, like, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this. We have to make this our issue. And it's all related in some ways to this issue. And what I've said is we need to actually just really care about one another. Like, we need to build relationships. And like, if you come to Westminster, like I would say in the last 3 years, even we were diverse in what you would see in front of you on a Sunday morning. Right. But if you come on a Sunday morning, it's not just cultural diversity, but like generational diversity. When you see people leading worship on our team, and they're all fantastic at what they do, but I mean, sometimes there will be 6 or 7 cultures and every generation represented on one given Sunday.
Amazing.
And it's not because we said, well, we have to do this because we want to be this. It's because we care about it.
Yeah.
And so what I would say to those leaders is like, you should care about these things. You should, every Christian leader should care about this stuff because it's so important to the heart of God. Mm-hmm. Right? What Jesus said, when we see the picture of heaven in the book of Revelation, what's the throne going to be surrounded by? People from every tribe, tongue, and language, right? I mean, so it's just like,
your heart has to be like totally gripped by these things for it to become something. And I think if you're listening to this, you're a leader, your heart should be.
And I think that all of us, I've struggled with it too, can feel jaded. We see a fantastic vision in scripture of what God's kingdom is like. And we look around us and it's like, I'm just going to go phone it in and do the next, just check off the boxes. But hearing about that, hearing about the relationships and how they've changed you and enriched your life, hearing about how it's so close to God's heart. This is God's desire. Those are the things that can help us remember, like, hey, guys, like, this is for real. God's doing it. The Spirit's doing it. It's going to be hard, but that suffering is going to produce a fruit that is unimaginably good. So, guys, I've really enjoyed being able to talk with all of you. I'm sure we could go on for hours, but I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast and thank everybody who's listening for being a part of our community. And thank you, Westminster Chapel, all of you for being such pioneers, working side by side for the gospel, for the glory of God through translation, accessibility, and creating belonging in our churches for people from every nation.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Theotech Podcast, and thank you to Westminster Chapel for joining us and sharing their insights with us. I'd also like to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to share these stories of how God is using technology to advance the kingdom. And if you'd like to support that storytelling as well, you can do so at patreon.com/theotech. And last but not least, I'd like to mention that Spiffio is a sponsor for this episode. Spiffio is an all-in-one platform for translation and accessibility, and we help churches to create belonging across languages, cultures, and generations. If your church is interested in being accessible in many languages, go ahead and check out www.spf.io to learn more. Thanks again, and until next time.